If you have your Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter number 17, and we're on lesson number six on our series about becoming a disciple. And we've been learning really primarily about one individual, obviously the Lord Jesus Christ every time, but humanly speaking, we've been learning and following the journey from the life of Peter. And we've been getting an education. It's good to get an education, right? The three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Look it up. Arithmetic starts with an R. No, it doesn't. See, spelling, not one of my famous subjects. But education is important. And those of you that are in school right now, maybe you're in public school, maybe you're in a Christian school, maybe you're in a home school, maybe you're in university or college, or maybe you're in Faith Bible Institute. Amen? That's getting started this week. Praise the Lord. We're all in need of education. And by the way, I think we can all be in an we're all learning, regardless if we're enrolled in any specific school, we all should be learning. The best thing that we can give our attention to is to become the disciple that God wants us to be. Now, there's one thing about being a Christian. There's another thing about being a disciple. You have a lot of Christians, people that have accepted Christ as Savior. Then the numbers usually decline when it comes to disciples. See, a disciple is someone who is fully committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. I admit to you that not every moment of every day am I fully committed, and I'm not proud of that. But it's something that I'm striving to be, with God's help, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in every way in my life, in every way in your life, we live it as if Christ was right beside us. And guess what? He is right beside you. And He is right beside you. In the person of the Holy Spirit of God who's in us all the time. And that's a blessing. That's also a challenge. So today we're learning about the area of reverence. Reverence. We're on lesson number six. And we're going to begin reading in Matthew 17. There are several accounts of the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one in Matthew 17, one in Mark 9, and one in Luke 9. And Peter, James, and John were at these events, this event, pardon me. It was listed in three texts, but it was one event. We'll talk more about that. This was quite an experience to be at. When you read it, if you've never read it, it's something that none of us have ever experienced in this exact way. But I'm thankful that because we have God's Spirit with us all the time, as I said, and we have a full copy of the Word of God, Genesis all the way to Revelation, we have a more sure word of prophecy, that we have the ability every day, we have the opportunity, pardon me, every day to be in the presence of God. And so keep that in mind as we're looking at this unique event. But it does teach us something about reverence. Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Wow, can you imagine that? Amazing, amazing. And then answered Peter and said, Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, now can you imagine this? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. I pray now that you'd help me to be able to give what you would have for us to hear today. Lord, we have an outline, but Lord, more than an outline, we need your power. We need your Holy Spirit to be the teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, this would have been a monumental experience for Peter, for James, and for John. In fact, for that matter, it would have been a monumental experience for Moses and Elias as well to be there to see the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured. What we learn from this, one thing that we're going to point out that we learn from this particular event is godly reverence. Godly reverence. To reverence the Lord Jesus Christ is a key attribute for the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're learning now about this particular thing. We've learned several points. We won't review all of them, but we want to keep moving forward. If we're not careful, our Christianity can become, and our thinking can become too casual. Too casual. Let's not bring down a holy God to our level. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us up as close as we can to living as God would have us to live. I know we're not going to become God, but we want to be more and more like the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ, every day. So we don't want to bring God down. We want to be brought up to His glory. The prophet Malachi conveyed the words of God in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. God deserves my honor today. There is no one else that deserves honor like our God. No one. There isn't any human being that you can think of that deserves the honor that God deserves. Isaiah wrote it this way in chapter 42 in verse number 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Oh, church member today, dear visitor, if you're visiting, by the way, welcome to Anchor Baptist Church, visitors. We're glad to have you. But whether you're a visitor, a regular attender, a member, it matters not. Be careful that we would live our life and give anyone the glory that is only reserved for Almighty God. And so we learn that here in this particular event, how to reverence God. Let's look at our outline, though, and we'll journey through these verses of Scripture, turning to a few others as well. Number one, we see the Lord's program. The Lord's program. We've seen several times, and we'll see several times as we read through the Word of God, that God, for whatever reason, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, He chooses to use Peter, James, and John, or bring Peter, James, and John into certain instances where the other disciples are not allowed to come. Some have referred to them as the inner circle, if you will. And this would enable them for that period of time to focus on Him. And I must say here that the Bible tells us here in verse number 17 that He bringeth them up into an high mountain, apart. Notice the word apart, okay? And I want to focus on that and think about that for just a minute. Luke's account of Scripture, about this same event mentions they went into a mountain specifically for the purpose of praying. But notice apart. Apart from the daily grind. Apart from the daily routine. Apart from helping people. Nothing wrong with these things. Apart from the schedule, apart from the hustle and bustle of life, if you will, we need to make sure that we have times set aside, that we come apart from those things, which means we pull away from those things and we have time with God. Whether it's beginning your day, which I think is the best time, But maybe you work all night and you're going to bed when I'm getting up. Maybe it's a little harder then. Maybe then it would be in the afternoon for you, in the early evening. I don't know when it is for you, but there has to be some time in your life, in your day. Specifically, I think every day is the way. And then maybe there's a season of time. There's another specific time where you would take more than just maybe your half an hour or an hour in the morning, whatever you spend. We're not trying to compete with how much time. I'm just saying, the old saying goes, and I don't know if this will translate, but if you don't come apart, you will come apart. Okay, maybe think about that for just a minute. The old English language can be confusing. We start to break down, spiritually speaking, if we don't have time with the Lord. We need a daily time with the Lord. And it doesn't have to be just in the morning, all throughout the day. And he walks with me and he talks with me, right? Matthew 6, 5 and 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells us, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. And then he says in verse number 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And the Father, thy Father which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. We don't have to necessarily have a meeting on a mountain like Peter, James, and John to meet with God. We can meet with God every day. We can meet with God more than once a day. The point is, God is saying, please, I want you to meet with me. This is the Lord's program. Letter A, we see the conference. The conference. We see that in verses 1 through 3. We do not know the specific mountain. At least I'm not aware of the specific mountain. It is referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration because of what happened on that mount. And here we see that God allows and God has two other individuals on the mountain with him. He brings Moses and he brings Elijah. Moses and Elijah. And not only did Jesus bring Peter, James, and John, but God comes down in his voice. We hear his voice. We're going to talk about that. So you've got Jesus, and you've got Peter, James, and John, and then you've got Moses and Elijah, that are on this mountain, and they can see them. I mean, what a meeting. What a conference is taking place. And but what Peter is going to learn is that even more than that God deserves reverence above everyone, not just above Peter, James, and John, but even above Elijah and even above Moses and whoever it may be that you may look at today. And that we today, think about this, we look at the heroes of our faith. And that's fine. That's okay to do that. I have heroes of my faith. I have heroes in the Bible that I like to read about, and some of them we've been reading about in Hebrews chapter number 11, and then some are people that obviously aren't in the Bible that are more in this time period of my life that have now gone on to heaven. Nothing wrong with that. But as you read the Bible, remember this, we are on the same level, if you will. We have the same opportunities. We have the same privilege that each and every one of these super Christians that we kind of look at, which there is no such thing, we have the opportunity to have direct contact with a holy God, just like Peter, James, and John, just like Moses, and just like Elijah. There needs to be no hesitation in the life of the believer, no hesitation in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ to have a conference with him any time. He's open for business, so to speak, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our communion with God has been his desire, God's desire. He desires to have communion. And I'm not talking about grape juice and bread. I'm talking about conversation. Our God desires that. Think about it. Holy God desires a conference or a meeting with unholy man like me. Now, because of Jesus Christ, praise God, I am robed in his righteousness. And when God sees me, that's what he sees. Romans 8:31 and 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, Who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Revelation 22, 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. God desires to meet with you today. God desires to have fellowship with you today. And so we see letter A, the conference. Letter B, the cross. The cross. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9 quickly. Luke chapter number 9. This is the same account. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 30 and 31. Luke 9, 30 and 31. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his, what's that next word? Decease. Decease means, it means death. They spoke of his death, his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Here we see the lives of Moses and Elijah. They made a significant impact. But what they're telling Peter, James, and John, specifically Peter, is that the central event in all of human history was going to come down to Jesus Christ and the cross. The cross. I mean, you can. I don't know if you can see it in the pulpit today, but there's a cross in the pulpit today, a cutout of a cross. At the cross. Where we first saw the light and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there at the cross. By faith, I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life at the cross. And it's at the cross where we find hope for every day. Now notice, if you will, the word accomplish. The word accomplish in verse number 31. It is translated according to the Strong's Concordance from a word which means to fulfill, or to carry through to the end. To carry through to the end. He would accomplish. He would fulfill. He would carry it through to the end. And you remember what Jesus said last at the cross? It is finished. Right? And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. What was he saying? I accomplished the will of God. I fulfilled the will of God. I carried through the will of God. Oh, the cross. We cannot lose sight of the cross. In Hebrews chapter number 10, we're not going to read these verses. But in Hebrews 10, we learn that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary fulfilled and superseded all other sacrifices. It's why today we don't need to sacrifice a lamb. We don't need to sacrifice a pigeon or a dove or anything else, a ram or anything else, because Jesus Christ's sacrifice fulfilled all of them. We see that in Hebrews 10, 10 to 14. Again, if you want to read those this week, it would be a great verse of Scripture to read. But we don't need to sacrifice as they did then. Because, why? The cross. So we see the conference, and we see the cross under number one, the Lord's program. Number two, let's go back to Matthew 17, and let's see number two, the disciples' proposal. The disciples' proposal. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ's face was shining as the sun. Now let's just think about that. Shining as the sun. Hey, two days this week, we got some bright sunshine out there. And I'm kind of joking, but I love seeing the sun, don't you? And it was so bright, and it, you know, when the sun is out, and you know what? It's so much easier to see. And one of those days, I can't remember which one, but I was dedicating a little bit of time to painting over here in the office. And when the sun was shining through these front windows up here, and because it was still before noon, it wasn't high overhead and coming up into these back ones, but it was shining in, oh boy, it made the job of cutting in, it made the job of seeing so much easier because the sun was shining. And you know what? There's a lot of lessons about the sun And I'm talking about S-O-N. And we need to have him shining in our life. And it so much makes the Christian life when we allow God's shining presence in our life to know where to go. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But here we see his face was shining like the sun. It was so bright. His raiment, his clothing was as white as the light or as snow. What a combination. We see in Matthew 17 and verse number 2. Also in Mark 9, 3 and in Luke 9, 29. Those are all verses that talk about his appearance. The transliteration of the Greek word used here for transfigured is metamorpho. Metamorpho. Does that sound familiar? Metamorphosis, right? It sounds very familiar to a word that we use. And it's usually describing a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It's a complete change, right? A caterpillar and a butterfly look nothing alike one another. And that's exactly what happens here to the Lord. It's a complete change. He looks completely different than when they were at the bottom of the mountain than when they are at the top of the mountain. And this also happened back in Exodus chapter 33. When Moses went up to the top of the mountain, and the Bible tells us that after he came down, his face was so bright. Moses' face was so bright because he had been in the presence of the Lord. You see, when we are in the presence of God, his glory, his brightness changes us. It reveals things that we need to get rid of. And it reveals things that need to be brought in. But when we have time in the Word and the washing of the Word, and when we have the meat of the Word and the milk of the Word, it's also changing us. It's transforming us, that the things we were thinking before we got saved, or even when we were maybe rebelling a bit or backsliding a bit, that when we get back into the Word, it changes our way of thinking. It changes our way of acting. It changes our way of talking. It changes everything about us because of the power that can only come as we get closer and closer and closer. Things are bound to change. And that's exactly what happens. Peter, James, and John, they witness something unbelievable. They witness an amazing change. And you know what? You know what we've learned about Peter, don't we? Don't you remember what we've learned about Peter? It doesn't take long for Peter to do something or say something. That's Peter. And that's what we see. Letter A, we see the tribute. The tribute. Peter did not remain silent very long. He spoke up. All three gospel accounts of the transfiguration say that Peter spoke up in verse 4 of Matthew 17 and said, "It is good for us to be here." Yeah, how about it? It is good for us to be here. Wow, what a moment. What an experience for Peter, James, and John to be a part of this. And what a moment in time. It is good for us to be here. Think about your life and think about your journey and think about times in your life where you could point back and you can say, this is something special. God is doing something wonderful here. God is meeting a need here. You know what? Every time you and I have the privilege of opening up the Holy Word of God and showing somebody from the Word of God how that they can be saved and how they can be born again and how they can have their sins forgiven. When you have the opportunity to take God's Word, maybe it's your Bible or a New Testament or even a gospel tract, and you're able to show somebody from the Bible that Jesus loves them, that God loves them and Jesus died for their sin and they can be saved, and they're convicted that they need Jesus, and they say, yes, I want to be saved, and they accept Jesus Christ as Savior. I mean, what a moment that is to experience someone going from darkness to light, going from heaven to hell. Talk about it, a moment. That's exactly what we're saying. Peter said, it's good for us to be here. And by the way, it's one reason why I said earlier that we pray that that God would open up our country once again. Because every time we get to meet with the family of God, we could say, it's good for us to be here. Have you ever heard that? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with the family of God. It's good to see people saved. It's good to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I can think back on several occurrences and several times where it wasn't necessarily thousands of people, but there was a handful of people, maybe a church service here, a church service there, where we experience God in a supernatural way. Yes, every Sunday, but in a very unique way. And what were we left saying? It was good for us to be in church today. Peter said, it is good for us to be here. It was a declarative statement. It is good for us to be here. It is a wise man, it is a wise lady who recognizes at the time when something special of a spiritual nature is going on. Maybe it was camp for you as a teenager one year. Maybe it was youth conference. Maybe it was junior camp, or maybe it was a missions conference. Maybe it was church anniversary Sunday. Maybe it was, you can go back and you remember when you opened your mailbox and you opened your mailbox and inside that mailbox was a check for $1 million. No, I'm just kidding. Inside that mailbox was an invitation to Anchor Baptist Church. I'm looking at our man today who's running the laptop back there. There was a day where Joey and Joy, they opened their mailbox over a decade ago. And inside their little mailbox was an invitation to the anniversary at Anchor Baptist Church. Just a little piece of paper. And they came. And now, fast forward ahead. It is good for us to be here. Folks, don't miss. I mean, we're not on the mountain today of transfiguration, but we can be on the mountain with God. It is good for us to be here. It could be five men praying. It could be two ladies meeting together over the phone to pray. We can't do a lot of things, but there's a lot of things we can do. Let's not miss what God is doing, the tribute. It is good for us to be here. How do we recognize God working daily in our lives? How can we attribute daily blessings to Him as they happen? How do we do this? We do this as we're walking in the Spirit. You know, if we're not careful, we can become like someone who doesn't even know the Lord as Savior. And again, please, I'm not correcting you. I'm not being unkind. But I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in luck. Well, if we're not careful, something could come into our life and we could just say this: man, I was lucky. Right? Now, I'm not going to say I've never said that. But it's been a long time, I believe, I hope. Hopefully I won't say it this week. It's been a long time since I've said I was lucky about anything. Why? Because it's not luck. It's this. I'm blessed. I mean, from the smallest thing, whatever it is, that's how we give God all the glory for it. That's why we can say it is good for us to be here. It's because we're filled with the Spirit of God, and we know that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father above, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, James tells us. So the tribute. Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Letter B, the tabernacles. The tabernacles. Peter started the right direction. He started in the right direction. But he continued to talk. And sometimes we talk too much, right? I'm there. I'm guilty. We need to be listening. Peter said, let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Luke described Peter as not knowing what he said in Luke's gospel. Peter believed the occasion called for a religious ceremony of some kind, and he was soon to find out differently. Peter was placing Moses and Elijah on the same level as the Lord. Now, you know, we could say, you know, boy, Peter, he's bold. And again, I would say that too. I mean, for him to speak up, I mean, in the middle of what's happening, Peter just blurts it out. Let's make a tabernacle. Possibly the beginning thinking was worthwhile. But again, remember, reverence only belongs to God. The tabernacles that Peter referred to only should have been mentioned for our God. So we see the Lord's program, we see the disciples' proposal, and then lastly, we see the Father's proclamation. The Father's proclamation. Don't you love that? I love verse 5. Right in the middle of Peter saying, hey, let's make a tabernacle. I'm not criticizing him, by the way. Let's make a tabernacle. Let's make one for you, let's make one for Moses, and let's make one for Elijah. Right after that, notice that. Notice the wording, verse 5. While he yet spake. Now, I don't know how you read that, but here's how I read that. Peter's still talking. And God starts talking. As it says, while he yet spake. So that's how I read it. Maybe I'm reading it wrong. But I can imagine Peter, and again, we have the inspired, infallible word of God, and we don't necessarily have every word. We have every word God wants us to have. Let me clarify that. We don't know what else Peter was saying is what I'm trying to get at. But we do know this, that God basically interrupts Peter. God can do that, right? And he says in verse 5, this is my beloved son. This is God speaking. Remember earlier, God did the same thing? You remember that? Remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River? And the same thing happened. The Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. Of course, Jesus was there. And then God spoke as well. And we see the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But here we see the Father's proclamation. A doctrine that is central to all of Christianity is that Jesus is God. In John 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And not everyone agreed with that. Not everyone followed that. The scribes and the Pharisees were against it. And in verse 31 to 33 of John chapter 10, in verse 31 specifically, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Because Jesus made himself equal with God. But in all three gospel accounts of today's story, God the Father said, Jesus is my son. All three times. Letter A. We see this. Here, H-E-A-R, here, the son. Matthew 3:17 is that text where God the Father said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Here in our text today, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Peter, James, and John had a front row seat, not only for the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to hear the voice of God once again cementing in their minds and in their hearts that Jesus Christ was God's son. Jesus Christ was to have their full attention. Jesus Christ was worthy of their fellowship. Jesus Christ was worthy of their martyrdom. You realize that James and Peter are going to be martyred at some point later on down the line. John is going to go to be boiled in oil, as church tradition tells us, and be exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Their journey representing Christ isn't going to be paved necessarily with ease. And yet God makes it clear to them, listen to him, hear him, follow him, revere him. Revere him. This is the only one who deserves your reverence. Now you think about that. Hear the Son. Hear the Son. Do we have the privilege of hearing Jesus today audibly? No, we don't. We have something even greater in the sense of we have God's Word. the greatest and the most important step that you and I must take if we want to be victorious is this: hear and heed God's word. Hear and heed God's word. Jeremiah, the great prophet of old, said, It is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. It is the word of God that brings faith, that brings salvation. Romans 10:17. Isaiah the prophet as well wrote, for as the rain, Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud. Hey, we got a lot of rain, but we got a lot of green here too. Amen. That it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Here's the verse that we quote. It's Isaiah 55:11. Okay? It shall not return unto me void. God's word will accomplish that which he pleases, and it shall prosper. Isn't that a great statement? It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Gospel Mail Advance 2021. Would you write it down? Would you pray about it? God's word will prosper where it is sent. We need to send the word of God all over the lower mainland. I like what this morning Pastor Nathan prayed. We don't know the number. Maybe we'll try to find that out. But he said, God, if it is your will, let us mail them to the entire lower mainland. Why not? It's the word of God that is going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. It will not return void. Other men praying as well. We don't know who needs it, but we know we need it. Hear the Son today. We don't have Jesus here with us bodily. Someday he's coming again. Amen. And we'll hear the Son once again. And for the first time, we'll hear the Son. But today we have God in print. We have the Holy Word of God. And we need to not only hear it, we need to heed it. And that's letter B, heed the Son. Heed the Son. God wants us to not just hear, but also obey. Would you go with me quickly to Matthew 7? Matthew 7. Here we see in Matthew 7 the definition of a wise man. This is something that we ought to say, I want to be. And it's not necessarily meaning a male. It's a man, a woman, mankind. Anyone is included in this. If you want to be labeled as wise, here's how you do it. Matthew 7:24. It's just the concluding statements of the great Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, therefore, verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What do we have today that are the sayings of God? We have the Bible. And, take note of this, doeth them. He hears my sayings, he does my sayings. He does my sayings. I will liken him unto a what? Wise man. And we know the song, the wise man built his house upon the rock. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And we see the effects of that. The wise man's home stood firm, strong in faith, giving God the glory. The foolish man's house went. They both faced a storm. There's all kinds of things we could talk about this particular verse. The point we're emphasizing, though, if we're going to be wise, we're going to be someone who hears the Son. We're also going to be someone who heeds the Son. God said, listen up, listen up. This is my beloved Son. I just tried to think that through over and over again. I still can't imagine what that would have been like. We have the ability to hear God every day. And do you believe God speaks to you personally in his word? If you don't, you're missing something. You really are. Because this is not a generalized book. This is a personal book written to me. To me. This book is written to me. This morning I opened it up and I read it. And you know what? God spoke to me. Oh, God didn't say, hey, Ben, how you doing down there? No, God spoke to me through his Spirit in my heart. I read his word. made some notes in a little book. I made some notes in here. I wrote some things down. I can read those tomorrow again when I write a little bit. Why? Because God's speaking. Many times God's telling me, hey, shape up. I'm glad he does that. Because God loves me. By the way, it's not about me. I'm saying it because it's personal. I'm trying to give you an illustration. You can say the same thing. You can pick up your Bible and say, this book was written to me. Personal. We need to hear it. Not only that, we need to heed what God is saying. Victorious Christian life is experienced by someone who hears and obeys God. It is living by God's word, not just listening to it, that brings blessings to our life. A choice needs to be made sometimes every day, anew and afresh. God, today, I'm dying to myself, and I want to hear and I want to heed what you have for me. These scripture passages on the transfiguration of the Lord remind us to see Christ as the God-man and help us realize that He alone is worthy of our reverence. So a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, in this education process, we learn that He needs and He desires, and it's for our own good that we reverence God, reverence His Son, listen to His Spirit, led of His Spirit. And we too can say, over and over again, we too can say, it is good for